Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is the best of the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The top 5 of 5 coming up at 5:30 because we are being joined now by ESPN's Buster Olney, who will celebrate opening day tomorrow by Dodgers-Tigers tomorrow night on ESPN. Thank you for joining us, Buster.
Good to talk with you. Yeah, the question going into the year, I think the dominant theme of the season is, can anybody beat the Dodgers?
Yeah, what do you think about that whole thing? Because we've seen it historically in baseball, the big market teams spending more than other teams. But this seems like the most, at least as I can remember, the most extreme version of that. I guess just general thoughts on what you think of it and how you think it'll play out over the next few years.
So, you're right. I mean, you think the Dodgers won the World Series last year, and then in the offseason, they signed Blake Snell, two-time Cy Young Award winner. They signed the best available relief pitcher, Tanner Scott. They signed, one of the best other relievers, Kirby Yates. They get Roky Sasaki, who's viewed as the most talented young pitcher in baseball. They signed Teoscar Hernandez to a long-term deal. They signed free agent Michael Conforto. I mean, it really was crazy. Now, it's not that much different than what the Yankees did in the late 90s.
Yep.
But it certainly has generated a lot of conversation within the sport. I have a friend who happened to be golfing with a major league player at the time that Sasaki picked the Dodgers. And this major league player who's not on the Dodgers, and his reaction to my friend was, "What's the point? The Dodgers are getting all the players." Now, you know and I know that baseball is a little bit different. You don't necessarily have to be the best team in the regular season to win the World Series. We saw that with the Braves when they won in 21. They saw it with the Phillies when they advanced all the way to the World Series against the Astros and had a chance to win then. You don't know. You still have to get through. But this is as big a prohibitive favorite as I've seen since I covered those late 90s Yankees teams.
Yeah, I think on some level, it's good for baseball to have a super team that everybody's gunning for. I think it happened when you look at the dynastic teams in football and basketball, even in the last 20 years with the Heat and the Warriors, having everybody sort of gun for them is fun. If they win every year, though, then it's not fun, right? Like, there has to be some sort of balance, I think, to keep everyone's interest in the game. But I think as a starting point, I think it is kind of neat and a talking point people maybe haven't had in baseball in a long time.
So the argument that you just made was the first time I ever heard that was actually from Billy Beane, longtime head of baseball operations of the A's. And this is you have a lot of A's fans complaining about those Yankees teams, and his response was, "What are you kidding? They're great for baseball. This year, the Dodgers will be the traveling circus that everybody's going to want to see. They will blow away all other teams in terms of road attendance, in terms of attention. And my God, look at the the response in Japan to their first two games of the regular season played over there against the Chicago Cubs. 25 million people were watching. I mean, it was a staggering number. So I agree with you that there is something to that. And I think you and I both also probably should say out loud, they're going to be used, whether it's right or wrong, as a reason for a salary cap by Major League Baseball when those CBA negotiations come up in 2 years. Whether or not that's actually the case, I'm dubious about it, but I know Major League Baseball will make the case that they don't want to have a team that outspends, other teams by factors of 7 and 8.
Yeah, I'm in favor of a salary cap.
Not that you're not. Yeah.
I mean, just as a fan of the sport, I think it helps the competitive balance around the league, so I'm in favor of it.
So Buster Olney from ESPN with us. All right, Buster, so turn into the Phils. So, I looked at the I was looking at the ESPN power rankings today, and they had the Phils number 3. And, the most popular team as World Series pick is clearly the Dodgers, but the one with the second most votes was the Phillies. And it seems like from our perspective that the national view of the Phillies might be a little bit more optimistic than the local view. Can you give your perspective on the team this year and where you think they sit in the hierarchy of baseball teams?
So I think that we have to remember that for most of last season, we talked about the Phillies as if they were the best team in baseball. And that wasn't just, idiots like me in the media. That was the feeling of a lot of people around baseball. And so many of the elements of the Phillies team, which, was great in 2023 and probably, should have won the World Series that year, and the team that was dominant for a lot of last year, most of those elements are back. They're going to have an excellent rotation. You got Bryce Harper, you got Trey Turner, you got Kyle Schwarber, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't think it's necessarily a case where, the Phillies have gotten worse. I just think the Dodgers have just gotten better in terms of what they've added and the way that they played at the end of last season. I do think the Atlanta Braves are a team that people are sleeping on. The Phillies are in probably the toughest division in baseball in terms of having elite teams in that group between the Mets, the Braves, and the Phillies. I mean, and that's going to be a challenge for all three of those teams having to deal with each other. So I think the Phillies are an incredibly dangerous team when you can roll out, a Zach Wheeler in a game one, a rising star pitcher like Christopher Sanchez, later on Aaron Nola, et cetera. We'll just see as the season goes on how their bullpen shakes out.
Now, we all realize that the Dodgers are the best team, right? What's that distance between the Dodgers and the rest of the National League and the Phillies? Or do you feel like the Phillies are bunched up with everybody else in the National League? There is no clear favor between those other teams behind the Dodgers.
I think they're, the Dodgers, number one in the power rankings, my own personal one. But the National League is absolutely stacked relative to the American League.
Yeah.
I've never seen a league like the American League is now, where you can make a reasonable path for like 10 different teams to win the league championship. Because if you did a power ranking, the first American League team might not be till like number 5 or number 6. And that's, the Phillies' challenge is extraordinary because of the fact that the Braves potentially should be, could be so good. I saw Spencer Strider pitch last week. He looks like he's coming back. Ronald Acuna Jr. is coming back. They added Jerks and Profar. The Mets add Juan Soto, to what was already a really good lineup. So the Phillies are still a great team in my mind. They just have a tough challenge because they're in the National League.
The great Buster Olney on with us from ESPN. Buster, you've obviously covered Dan Dombrowski's like entire career. He's been a GM for like 35 years, it feels like. Are you a little surprised that we haven't had the traditional all-in Dave Dombrowski trade at one of these deadlines or in the offseason? Are you surprised that they kind of ran it back with the same team that ended last year?
I am. Man, I remember I wrote a piece in the fall, or I can't remember what form it took, but talked about how when I spoke with executives with other teams, they talked about their expectation that the Phillies were going to make a big strike. And at that time, that conversation was around Garrett Crochet, who was the most coveted pitcher in the trade market, no question. And folks with other teams were reading the Phillies as being a team that, you know, they came close in 2023, they came close in 2024, they came close in 2022, and they thought that they would make a big, bold move that would put them over the top. And it didn't really happen. And that, I think, was a surprise. Now, you can make a case that, you know, some of the things they did, adding Lizardo, adding Kepler, that overall that they could turn out to be a better team over the course of the regular season. But there was no Garrett Crochet in what they did during the offseason. And that, you know, given Dave's history, that was a surprise for me. And I know a lot of his peers, too.
Yeah, the other, I guess, sort of debate point we've had leading up to the season is actually the lineup. And they've, Rob Thompson hinted the other day that he will have two different starting lineups, one with Schwarber hitting leadoff, and then when they're facing, righties, and then when they're not, Trey Turner will lead off. What do you think of the idea of just sort of shifting roles the way that does, especially when you're trying to get guys like Trey to maybe not chase so much and maybe not, swing for home runs as much as he has in the past?
Yeah, it's an interesting, quandary because, and we had the Phillies in an exhibition broadcast in the first week of March. So, I asked Rob about what his thought process was, and I'm sure he probably mentioned it to reporters in Phillies too. Kyle Schwarber loves being a leadoff hitter, right? I mean, he just absolutely loves that. But he also made it clear to him, look, I'll do whatever you want to do. And he's not the classic leadoff hitter because he's not especially fast and he's not necessarily a threat to steal bases. And Trey Turner, the way he runs, he is the classic leadoff hitter. But he doesn't get on base as much as Kyle does. So I actually like the idea. I love, knowing Trey's personality, knowing Kyle's, great team-first personality, and Rob, the way he communicates with players, they're going to be all in on whatever he decides. So I think it'll be fine, and you can understand why he would want to try to maximize, the talent of somebody like Trey with his ability to steal bases.
Yeah, I think from a Philadelphia fan perspective, I think a lot of us are at, let's see something different at least. Like, let's at least try. We understand what we have in Schwarber, but let's see if putting Trey up there ends up with a different Trey than we've seen over the last couple of years. Well, Buster, we appreciate your time today. Of course, you will be part of the broadcast tomorrow night on ESPN, Tigers versus the traveling circus, as you call them, the Los Angeles Dodgers. And let's hope somebody takes them down. That'll be fun. I mean, you don't have to hope for it. I hope for it. I think it'll be fun if somebody takes them down. All right, Buster. Thanks so much, man.
Appreciate it, Buster.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. There is Buster only. I do think if they don't win, it will be fun. If the Dodgers don't win the World Series.
Oh, yeah. Because they're like you said, they're the evil team we're all chasing.
It's like the difference between, I know I bring everything back to basketball. The reason why I think the Heat were good is because the Heat didn't win the championship the first year. Mm-hmm. But the Warriors, when they added Durant, that was the not fair point.
Right.
That was when, we actually don't enjoy this.
Right.
But the Heat, I think people, they lost twice in the finals. And I think that's what made that era kind of fun because they did succeed, but they also failed.
You mean to tell me they only won two titles with that stack roster?
It's unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, with Spurs, come on.
Yeah.
Man, old Tim Duncan?
Well, yeah, young Kawhi Leonard.
Well, I don't remember old Tim Duncan getting cramps during the finals.
Not running as much.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's a fair point.
Today's show is powered by Verizon. For a limited time, get their best price ever. Drop into your local Verizon store today to learn more. Jack, we're supposed to do this last segment. I forgot to do it. Most important Philly for you this year outside of Bryce and Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, so I think the most popular pick is Trey, but besides also Trey, I don't want to take him either.
Okay.
I actually think it's Chris Sanchez.
Oh, wow.
Because,
why?
Listen, we know Wheeler, but this is the top three rotation like I think it can be. Nola, to me, not a real two. Chris Sanchez being a real...
The disrespect. You see, I went back to the disrespect that quick.
3.2 ERA, he was saying yesterday. Yep. Believe the Noles.
Didn't say that yesterday. Said that the first segment.
Okay.
Still, feels like yesterday.
It does feel like it. The 5 o'clock hour, whatever. I still am in on Nola, but I think Nola is like... You know what Nola is. Yeah. Sanchez could be a force multiplier. And like I think Lizardo, I believe in, but I think there's going to be some bumps in the road. Sanchez developing into like a real Cy Young-ish kind of guy could take the Phillies to kind of another level here. So I'll say Chris Sanchez.
Yeah, I'm going back and forth between Bomer and Stott. I don't know if Stott will bat high enough in the lineup to have the impact that he could, even if he gets back to being 2022. Bryson Stott, but, or 23 Bryson Stott.
Yeah, 23 Bryson Stott.
I get these years mixed up. But I think Alec Bohm has a chance, if he can at least, be a guy that, he gets you 20 home runs, he drives in runs, because we know he'll put the bat on the ball, so he led the team in RBIs, or he was leading the team in RBIs last
year. Yeah, what did he end up with, 97?
97, for a second straight year.
Yeah. I think if he can get back to playing the way he was in the first half of the season, where I felt like he had a little bit of swagger to him, pre-dugout emotional breakdown, like before all that stuff happened. Yeah, I think it. Him and Trey, I just think those two guys could make this lineup so much different than what it's been.
And the injury has to
on their game.
The injury has to be brought up with Bohm, because like his power did get zapped after the wrist injury.
His power.
That's what I'm saying,
You see that on YouTube when I do the quote-unquote quote, power thing.
When you roll your eyes at callers?
Yes. Well, I never do that.
Right.
At least I don't hang myself with the phone cord.
Again, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. I am going Stott, and for this reason. I think Stott means a lot to the future, too. Like, if Stott is the 2023 Stott, I think you can think about the future of the Phillies infield in a different way than if he hits 245 and he's a good fielding second baseman. A good fielding second baseman is great, but it's also not a super high leverage position defensively unless you're really, really good. Mm-hmm. He has that, but also if he's hitting 250, I don't think it matters that much. If he is hitting 290 or 300, then all of a sudden when we're looking out for the next 5 years and we think about Aiden Miller coming in, then you are thinking about a double play combo there that could be your next decade. And I think Bryson Stott means a lot for this year, but I also think he means a lot as you're looking forward, because you might, if Stott isn't that guy, you probably don't pay Bryson Stott. He probably isn't a Philly in the next 3 years or whatever. Yeah. But if he does come back and hits that, I think they can plan a little bit differently as well.
Yeah, it's big for Bohm and him. I mean, from the payday standpoint, Bohm is 2 years away.
Yeah.
Stott, I believe, is three.
Yep.
So I'm sure they would like extensions. You know? So it's big from that standpoint.
Let's just get right to it. I mean, this is a big one. This is a big one. Hunter Brody, we are the official Flyer show on WIP. And to prove it, every week we have Flyers in 50 with Hunter Brody. Broods. What's up, Broods?
No sharp tongue for me today, all right? There's a lot of business to take care of. I have a lot of things to say about that stupid remark that was just made, but I'll keep it in the back pocket.
Our remark? Oh, okay. Well, let me ask you this, Broads, because I want you to set this up properly, and I'm going to let you cook a little bit here. The question is, do we play the Tortorella quote before Flyers in 50 and then have Broads react to it? Or Broads, do you want it within the thing? Do you want to say, Jack, give me the sound or whatever?
I don't know. I think once I hear it, I'm going to punch a hole in the wall. So if you want to play it,
play it.
It's my job to prepare this team in this type of situation. Haven't done a good enough job past couple of games.
These last two games, are you sensing frustration setting in? Maybe it's a cumulative effect from last week playing well and not getting results?
Well, when you're in this type of situation and you're losing all the time and there's nothing at the end of the tunnel for you, there's certainly going to be some frustration, but this falls on me. I'm not really interested in learning how to coach this type of season where we're at right now. But I have to do a better job. So this falls on me, getting the team prepared to play the proper way until we get to the end.
Flyers in 50 with Hunter Brody.
What the hell are you talking about, Darts? You know what you signed up for? What did you sign up for at the start of the season? This was going to be a rebuild. This was always going to take time. You were going to lose games. every night, dropping to Chicago 7-4, losing to Toronto 7-2. That was in the cards as we try and get premier talent in this league. And he stands up there and goes, guess what? I got no interest in this. Are you serious? What are you, Doc Rivers? Hey, I won 3 games. I don't get credit for that. When you need 4 to close out a series, it's embarrassing. And quite frankly, I do think it deserves to pretty much fire his ass so we can get some real life in here, because that's a joke. You're benching Cam York. You're benching Mitch Kupf. Sean Couturier's playing fourth line minutes at times. What is the purpose of the season? The fact that he doesn't know is a problem, considering this is supposed to be a game plan that from top to bottom has structure. But I don't think he sees it the same way Danny and Jonesy sees it. Definitely not after those damn remarks. So what are the Flyers actually getting accomplished here? I don't know. And quite frankly, it is pissing me off that we don't see something at the end of the tunnel here. Yeah, there's draft picks. That's great, there's draft picks. But if he doesn't want to coach this type of season, was this season just ready to get thrown out in the trash and there was no growing and there was nothing that was actually getting accomplished over the 82 games? Do we just waste a season of Mitch Kupf and Forster? If, hey, I don't want to do anything with this. I don't really know what to do here. Then why are you here, Torts? Then what is your job and your duty when you show up to Voorhees every single damn day? Did I miss the buzzer?
Yeah, no. We just let you cook. We're just letting you cook.
Oh, okay.
Man. Yeah.
No, I'm sweating.
Well,
I'm sweating.
let me ask you this, Broads, because it actually reminds me a little bit of when Doug Collins said that he had basically quit 3 months prior, and that he ran through his shoes, blah 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 blah. Not to bring up the beginning of the Sixers thing, the process thing, but in hiring Brett Brown, they purposely hired a coach who knew what the job was, who knew that they were going to lose, and knew his job was to get the young players better. How much of this falls on the organization, falls on Briere in putting a coach that who probably isn't the right kind of coach to be in there? Obviously, Torts is the wrong coach for this, but how much goes on the organization for putting the wrong coach in that situation?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question for sure. And here's my issue with it. I do think Torts brings a lot that is valuable, like even in the beginning stages and whatnot. But you just got, if you're going that route, you got to thread the needle with it, right? You got to pick and choose when it's time to continue with it, when it's time maybe to snip it, because he does bring value when it comes to work ethic, how to show up every day. He's always going to be on you, so you have to compete or else you're not going to play. And you do need to put that into these young guys, but you got to play with that line with him, because the second that runs its course and it no longer hits home, it gets nasty and ugly. And I think we're seeing that right now. So I didn't mind the idea of it early, but I just think it ran its course and maybe they held on to this Tortorella thing way too long. And truth be told, maybe the whole wear and tear thing. Last season, they collapsed towards the end. This year, it seems like we're following that similar trend. So, maybe me saying that it was worth it to some level is unfair, because he just wears these guys down so much that they got nothing left to give once we hit this time of the year 2 years in a row.
Yeah, that's always been my concern with him. He seems to have the reputation of great in the beginning, but he usually wears thin on his players. Not that anybody cares, but the media that's covering him, the fans that follow the team, and then ultimately the organization. And that's where I'm at right now. I think we're at that final stage right now, Broads, and I'm wondering the organization from Keith's position, Danny Briere's position. I'm wondering, do they feel like this is beneficial to this youth movement that they're trying to make, as well as bringing in other guys? Hell, we may have lost a high draft pick because a guy didn't want to play here. Who knows what that reason was for, but I don't know. I'm wondering if moving forward, is this, having Torts here as the head coach, beneficial for these young players' growth and this organization moving forward? He's gotten us to this point. Now, is it maybe just time for a new voice?
I think so. And I was actually listening to Rob Ellis and Sielski on Saturday, and they had on Jonesy. And he said, look, there are times where I really don't see, well, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but when Torch makes a decision with a certain player, maybe Jonesy doesn't really necessarily agree with it at the time, but then he sees how maybe Mitch Koff responds and he has a couple of goals after he gets benched or whatever. You know, I'm just kind of speaking out loud about it. But, you know, that just goes to show that there are some times where maybe the higher ups go, hey, maybe that's not the card I would pull, or hey, I don't know if that's really necessarily the right route. So maybe they do think of that at this particular point. And yeah, I mean, I think it did kind of run its course at this point. Now, here's the one thing that could have possibly happened with Torch with that response. And because they're getting blown out by bad teams like Chicago, was there possibly a calculated statement made by Torch to put all the blame on him and less about the players who just got shelled and annihilated by some of these teams? So instead of talking about Cam York, who had a bad performance, or the goaltending that's been awful, now here we are ripping Torch and he took all the blame and all the shots.
Well, yeah. I have no problem with him saying I have to do a better job. It's the one line which may have been the true line in all of it, by the way, is I have no interest in coaching right. a team like this year. That is the line that kills me. The I have to do a better job. I haven't done enough good. But all good.
Coach speak.
All right. All takes pressure off the players. But saying I don't want to be here doing this when, you know, like when you're coaching a team like this, you're only, and the team continues to lose, your biggest job is making sure that the players, every time they go out there, are going out there with the hunger to continue to get better, even try to win games, but ultimately understand that there might be a bigger goal in mind, all of those things. And when he says, well, I don't want to coach a team like this, that if he can't do it, then I don't know how he can get other people to do it. Do you know what I mean? Like that line sounded like the one honest line in the entire thing he said. Do you think if you had a bet right now, do you think they fire him?
I think after that, yes. Now, if you ask me before this answer, I'd probably lean no, but how can you bounce back from that? How can you bounce back from I'm not interested in learning how to coach this type of season when next year, let's be honest, fellas, they're probably going to stink again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
now,
that's where they are.
This, though,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
This was fun. I mean, this was hockey talk.
Yeah, you like this?
This wasn't no BS. Let's just be sarcastic. This was dump and chase.
Yeah. Wow, when corner, there's important business. Yeah, yeah, this is important.
I mean,
important. I could talk about Cole Caulfield and how they messed up in the draft.
I actually want to give credit. I want to give credit to us. We hung in there with it. You know, we did a pretty good job, I thought.
You did. I got to be honest with you. You did.
Hunter Brody, Broads, when is the next time you're going to be on WIP?
Tonight at 11 o'clock, and yes, we'll break down. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I bleed into opening day, and you bet your ass at midnight, I'm talking Flyers, just to piss off.
There you go.
There you go. Well, when I did that shift, I used to talk about the WWE at midnight, so you can do whatever you want at midnight.
I could do that, too. Hey, Jack, John Cena turned heel.
Yeah, did you know that?
Did that happen?
Yeah, he turned
now
heel.
Now he's like the biggest, everyone's mad at him? Is that the new thing? Everyone's mad at John Cena?
No, I don't know.
Good stuff on the draft last night, by the way, fellas, two nights ago.
Good stuff on the draft.
Baseball.
Fantasy draft. Oh, yes. Right. Well,
yeah, I saw you guys on the Zoom. Well, good job, guys.
You're a real clubhouse guy.
Yeah, hold on, buddy. I spent hours setting up my auto draft for that. I did, it was a lot of work. I'm sorry I can't sit stare at you the whole time.
Almost at the drive home.
Yeah. Your problem should be with Seltzer, who can't get his keepers in time, not me or Fritz. All right, Broads. Tonight, 11 o'clock, you follow him on Twitter at Broads81. Thank you, Broads. Great job today.
See you, fellas.
All right. So, what was that?
What the hell was that noise?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Well, I just said, all right, fellas.
It's almost like...
That'd be good, Taylor.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. It is opening day on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the end of March. Phillies baseball is here. Ike, how you doing?
Brother Spike, I'm doing great. It's opening day. Break out the peanuts and the Cracker Jacks in case some of you guys don't know what the hell Cracker Jacks are. It's kind of popcorn and peanuts. From the old school way of doing things. We love it. This was a great snack. Jackie Baseball, it's your time to shine, my brother. Holla at your boy.
Listen, just letting everyone know.
Yeah.
We're about to have two world champions in this city.
Okay.
At the same damn time.
The Union and the Eagles.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. And it certainly won't be the Sixers or Flyers. We'll get to the Flyers. You're welcome.
Yes.
But it's opening day, baby. What a beautiful day. I've had a smile on my face. I could talk on these airwaves for 24 hours. I only got an hour.
Yes. Yeah, it is a shortened show because the Phillies open their season right here on 94 WIP. First pitch is at 4:05 against the Washington Nationals. We will take you all the way up until game time. And before we get started on the show, I do have to mention, if you look directly into the camera that looks at you, we are live on YouTube for the first time.
Okay. So
The show is now going to be on YouTube, so we got to make sure we don't pick our noses. We got to make sure we don't make faces at each other.
Listen.
You know.
I'm going to pick my nose, and I'm going to make faces. You guys just get to, that's the beauty of being on YouTube. You get to experience it with us.
Yep. Yep. And I'm going to react to callers making bad points.
Yes.
Kind of is what it is.
Yeah,
I just got to be me. I can't worry about a camera, Spike. I just got to be me.
You know what I'm going to do eventually? I'm going to do a Mount Rushmore of Jack reactions when he doesn't like the camera. I have three of them in mind. Or not the camera, the caller.
Yeah.
I have three of them in mind.
I don't like the camera either.
I don't like the camera either.
Yes,
thank you.
That's right.
Look at that.
That's right.
The photo's over here. Looking at him the whole day. You see that in Rhea's booth?
Oh, that's right.
Baby face Fritzy. Yeah.
That was my freshman year at Bloomsburg photo.
That's when it all started to fall apart.
Yeah, I choked one change up in Newport News, and I'm here today. That's the only reason why I'm here.
Well, we're happy, Jack, that you're here today.
Big day.
So it is a big day, and today is going to be, as often is on the WIP Afternoon Show, it is a Tell the Truth Thursday about the Philly season. Here is what we will add. We will give you ours, but we will ask from you the Philly's record. Mm-hmm. Where they get to in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and the make-or-break player for the Phillies this year. Now, when we say make-or-break player, Rod Lakin, just so we're making it clear for everybody, it is make-or-break for the Phillies. Of course, there are players that are in make-or-break seasons for their career, but this is a make-or-break player for the Phillies. So 215-592-9494. I normally go first, or Ike goes first, mm-hmm. but since we are in Jackie Baseball season, I give it to Jackie Baseball for his Tell the Truth Thursday prediction.
And hopefully I'm leading off like Schwarb. So the nice little... Well, listen, if we're going Trey, hopefully it's a nice 330 year. How about that?
Would love that.
330?
Would love that.
So I'm going to get the... I'm going to cut right to the chase. Phillies are winning the World Series.
Wow.
They're winning 93 games, and they're going to go over the Red Sox. Now, I know people are like, oh, my God, Jack, rose-colored glasses, blah, blah, blah. You love the Phillies. Here's where it's different. I've never predicted the Phillies win the World Series. When expectations get too high on the Phillies, I shut down. It makes me nervous, but I'm leaning in this year because I believe it. And I like the no-one-believes-in-us Phillies that I think that's been exuding out of Clearwater.
How many days has it been since pause year? Like the 10 days, I think. You have gone from pause year to win the World Series in a week and a half.
They can do both. Anyway,
okay.
So, oh, they can do both.
They can do both. I like where the team is at. They do look locked in at their bats. The pitching staff looks really good. The big four are doing their thing. Ranger, we'll see. And I'm buying into the bullpen. There's a lot of guys I'm bullish on. Cannot wait. But I think the Phillies are in for a great year. I know the Dodgers are there. The Dodgers are daunting. But I believe in this team. One last shot at glory. I'm thinking about 76, 77, 78, 79, and then bang, breaking through in 80. That's this team. So my make or break Philly is Chris Sanchez. I know the obvious answer could be Trey, but I'll take Chris Sanchez being a real number two. Can't be a three or four for this team to reach its potential. A real, true other ace besides Zach Wheeler. So Chris Sanchez, my make or break Philly.
Now, Ike, before I go to you, I want to say that I have proclaimed that for me this year, and this even includes division rivals, it is anyone but the Dodgers. Okay. I just want anyone but the Dodgers to win the World Series this year. So, okay. Ike, your predictions, give us the record, how far they get in the playoffs, and your make or break Phillies player.
I'll take that first off the bat, anyone but the Dodgers.
You like that?
Scenario. I like that.
Okay.
I like that.
Yep.
They won last year, first and foremost.
Enough.
And they got embarrassment and riches this offseason. We don't need to see them continue to win. Boy, I tell you, I've struggled with this team back and forth with this team.
You have.
I really have. And I'm going to go with 90 wins.
Okay.
90 wins are there for me. That's what I feel. I'm not going to be doom and gloom on opening day, but I'm also not going to be rose-colored glasses either. Right? So I know this team has the talent and the potential of doing something special, right? It's the reason why they are at least considered, let's just say, in the top five of baseball teams that really have a legitimate chance of winning the World Series. And you would say any other time going into a season, we'd take that in any other sport. If the Eagles were a top five team, which we've seen they are, the Sixers, top five team, Flyers, top five team, we'd take that. So the Phillies are a top five team in baseball. I can appreciate that. But whether or not I feel this is a magical season or it could be a special season, I don't feel that right now. I don't feel that right now. I'm open to it. I'm embracing it. I hope it happens. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Don't do that to me. I'm not. We're not going to do that today. That's where I'm
He's
at.
He's just being honest. Thursday.
Yeah.
With 90 wins, it's a playoff team. But we're talking about winning the World Series. That's what we're talking about. When you got the third highest payroll in baseball, that's where you're at. It's not about just making the playoffs. That I almost feel like that's a given. So I got them at 90 wins in the playoffs, falling short.
Okay.
Falling short.
Make or break player.
My make or break player, listen, it's not easy being a fan.
Oh boy.
Of the Bomber.
There it is.
Riding him.
Baseball
but
Toby.
I'm there.
Yep.
I'm there, and I'm going to ride Bomer.
Oh boy.
Like Seabiscuit?
Yeah, how'd that work?
Well, hold on. Becton was a Super Bowl champion. Yep. He rode Becton like Seabiscuit.
I did.
Yeah, but
so I'm going to stick with Alec Bohm
as
the make or break player, because if he can play like he did in the first half for an entire season, what it does to this lineup, and I know most people will pick Trey. So it's really both of those guys for me. But I'm going with Alec Bohm because that's my guy. And he's my make or break player. That's where I'm at. Sorry for the long view of this.
No. So it is Tell the Truth Thursday, 215-592-9494. We want record, where they get in the playoffs, and your make or break Philly for this year. So, like Jack, I have them at 93-69. Now, that will not win the division. I think the Braves win the division. But the Phillies get into the playoffs. Now, here is the curveball. I have the Phillies losing in the NLCS to the Dodgers. However, at the end of the season, I believe that we will feel good about the season. I believe that they will lose to the Dodgers in the NLCS, but I believe that the negative feelings that we have this year about what has happened the last few years, I believe that we will feel good about the team after that loss. Maybe not the day after, but we will look back on this season and say that they did a good job and we feel good about the team. My make or break Philly, and I said this yesterday, is Bryson Stott. Now, I told Jack as soon as I got here, start watching the Phillies every day again, that immediately I became a Stott guy.
Yeah, you're a Stott head.
He just looks like a ball player to me.
Yeah.
I say that all the time.
Yeah.
Weston Wilson looks like a ball player. You guys just look like ball players. But I think a great Stott season not only makes this season better, it clarifies the future of the Phillies infield. They're going to have to make a decision sooner rather than later about whether they're going to pay Bryson Stott, whether he is the long-term second baseman on the Phillies, especially with Aiden Miller, you know, coming up through the ranks.
Oh, man. Alec Bohm, Aiden Miller, Bryson Stott, Bryce Harper.
Trey in left.
Yeah, Trey in the outfield.
There
that's a hell of an infield right there.
There it is. So 215-592-9494. It is Tell the Truth Thursday. What we need from you, Phillies record, how far they get in the playoffs, and your make or break Philly here on opening day. Remember, you can hear the game right here on WIP 405 with, and you can hear it on the free Odyssey app as well. Sean and Trenton leads us off. Sean, you're on WIP.
Hey, gentlemen, how we doing today?
What's up, Sean?
What up, Sean?
I am feeling awesome. You know, this is a great day.
Yes,
this is a day I'm always looking forward to every year.
Yes,
and I just want to address some of the callers on the midday show.
No.
My gosh, man.
No callers on the midday show. Just say what you got to say. We don't acknowledge the callers on that show.
I feel like everybody is so pessimistic about this team, and I just have no idea why. I mean, they're a great ball.
Well, it's Ike Reese's fault.
It is.
I wouldn't necessarily say that.
Well, could be.
The Mets put a sour taste in everybody's mouth. There's no denying that. We ran into a hot team. And, you know, look at the Giants a couple of years ago when they kept going on those stretches. Look at the Cardinals, even the Red Sox when you had like guys like Steve Pierce. It just takes that one guy who, you know, it could be Kepler.
Yep.
It's not my pick for the make or break Philly, but
could be Kepler. You know, could be Kepler. Give us the record. Give us the record, Sean.
I really think that we're going to win 94 games.
Well, there you go. Good number. Good number.
94 is a good number.
Good number. Good number.
Whether that's a big number.
Division or not?
What's that?
Whether it wins the division or not, I don't know. But you know, 94 wins just feels about right to me.
All right, playoffs.
I think we're going to be second or first.
What's that?
I think we're going to be second or first in the division.
Okay.
And I think we do make the World Series because I think we take the Dodgers to seven.
There
our,
you go.
Our staff is too good, man. We have the best pitching staff in the league.
There you go. Next to the Dodgers. But yes, second best for sure. So they get to the World Series. Are you gonna predict a win of the World Series? Just do
if
it.
If we're playing
just do it. Just
anybody
do it.
In the AL, I think we're winning.
Yeah,
there you go.
I don't see any AL team better than us. I really do.
Yeah, there you go. And who's your make or break Philly this year?
It's actually a guy that's probably gonna go a bit under the radar this year. It's JT. And the reason why
interesting.
Is because I can't do 100 games of Garrett Stubbs and Rafael Marchand. I need JT healthy for 100 to 120 games. I really do. And if he's hot going into the playoffs, that's just another guy who can add everything to the game. And just a quick little shout-out, too, to Andrew Painter. I really think he's going to be an X-factor in the playoffs, dude. People don't realize how good this guy is. He was Skeens before Skeens.
Yeah, well, that'll be – thank you for the call, Sean. I mean, that'll be the – assuming the Phillies are playing well enough to keep us interested, the Painter arrival midseason will be an exciting moment.
You know, Fritz has been on that from the jump, saying that will be our midseason acquisition that gives us the jolt.
Yes.
In the second half of the season.
The midsummer bump.
I'm looking forward to it.
He's the one Philly, after you saw him at spring training, that gave you the feeling that seeing the Yankees last year did. Like, oh my God, look at how big that
seriously,
guy is.
Seriously, yeah, you're right.
You know, he's
you're right.
He said,
I'm not used to baseball players being that big. Football players, okay, but with baseball players, I'm not used to that.
Yeah, you see Aaron Judge in real life or Giancarlo Stanton, you're like, wait a minute, what the hell is going
on
here?
He's pretty big.
Yeah. Baseball players might be different now, though. We saw Lizardo.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
But he's not tall, though. But he's thick, though.
Yeah, Painter's like 6'7".
Yeah.
Big boy. Big boy.
I'm telling you, at 6'3", I'm not looking up to very many people.
Right. You know, he said JT is a make-or-break player. If we got a great season out of JT, because I've become very pessimistic about JT, just because I don't think he's a difference maker. I don't think he's a difference maker at the plate, and I think his catching maybe a little bit overrated in terms of the difference it makes for us. So if we ended up with a JT season where he's, if I'm talking numbers, where he's pushing 800 OPS.
Oh, it's huge.
It makes a huge difference.
I would take 750.
Yeah, I would take, because to me, 708.
750-ish, 15 to 20 home runs.
Oh, would be huge.
But I do wonder how much they're going to play Marchand. Like, I don't think Marchand could be a once-a-week guy. Like, if they're serious about having JT be fresh
yes.
for the end of the year. I think Marshawn has to play at least twice a week.
And he's had trouble staying healthy.
Had trouble staying healthy. Right. The nice part is it doesn't matter what kind of pitchers on the mound, righty or lefty, because he's a switch hitter.
Ah, that's good. Yeah. That's good. 215-592-9494 is Tell the Truth Thursday. David in the Northeast, you're on WIP. What's up, David?
Hey, what's up, you Motley Crue baseball guys?
Yes, sir. We are baseball guys, except for Jack.
Jackie Balls, all right.
Yeah, he's all right.
Listen.
Jackie Balls?
Yeah. Jackie Balls is a 5 out of 10.
Jackie Balls!
No balls.
Kind of reminiscing about this. Does anybody remember when the vet opened up? They came out with the song during the morning show with Hugh Douglas. I mean, you know, the midday show. And it was like something that was unbelievable, man.
Well, what was it?
What was the song? Can you hum it?
Oh, well, something about, have you seen the vet yet?
Sounds like a hit.
But it was just a thing. Did you ever see him put a basketball court in center field? I did.
This is quite a call. They put a basketball court in center field?
Center field.
Okay, for what?
To play basketball.
Well, clearly.
The Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Senators.
On the baseball field?
On the baseball field.
Wow.
When?
Does anybody remember?
Here we go.
Does anybody remember?
It's a new segment. What's that? Say again?
The Quaker Kids.
No.
They were the mannequin figurines when a baseball player hit a home run for the Phillies.
David, I need you to lock in. I need you to tell me what you think the Phillies are going to do this year.
Well, I'm kind of like I'm thinking between 90, 95. Wow.
Just like Ike.
94.
Yep, one of those numbers.
Yeah.
You want to give me 94? Is that what you're locked in on?
94.
Okay.
That's a good number.
And what are they going to do? It's Tell the Truth Thursday, David. You told us a lot of truths today about the basketball field and the song. What do you think they're going to do in the playoffs?
Atlanta's got it.
And who is your make or break Phillies player?
Listen,
okay. Does anybody remember?
They got the farm club.
Yep.
They got a good farm club system.
Who's your favorite prospect?
I'm going with Scott.
Scott who?
Bryson Scott.
Second baseman.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I think it's second baseman.
He's not in the farm system, though, David. He's been on the
Jack,
big league roster
up.
Since 2022.
Jack, you don't remember the vet song or when the vet opened up?
71.
No, I'm saying Jack. Jack doesn't know.
Oh, Jack.
He doesn't know anything.
He doesn't know anything.
All right.
Now.
Oh, boy.
Mike.
Yes.
Yep.
You're talking about the Cracker Jacks. Did you ever see the Cracker Jacks in the wafer shape? Like an oversized hockey puck?
Come on, Ike.
Nope. I did not. Nope.
They used to sell them 50 cents for three of them.
Can I ask you something, David, though?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Can I ask you something, David, just real quick about Cracker Jacks? The toys in the Cracker Jack box used to be so much better, and then they evolved and got worse and worse as years went on. What happened there?
I don't know, man. Oh. Somebody might have gagged on.
Whoa.
You know, thought it was a Cracker Jack and gagged on the paper.
Yep.
Yeah, we all have that problem.
Yeah, occasionally. Well, I eat the stickers on fruit. All right.
Another thing.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, hold on. What do you got, Dave? What else?
Listen, Ike, you may know this. You remember Billy White Shoes Johnson?
I do.
He played for the Philadelphia team. They put a softball field.
No, I think he went to school at Westchester.
300.
I could be wrong, but I think Billy
White Shoes Johnson was the first guy to do the end zone dance.
I know. Listen, Billy White Shoes Johnson, he was in Atlanta with me when I was down there. He was the player developmental. He was head of that program with the Falcons.
Will you let David talk? David.
And he was with the Oilers.
Yes, yes.
He used to do the old chicken leg dance.
Yeah, that's one of the more famous celebrations ever. Yeah, the top 10 celebration easily.
All right, guys, this is the last thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Gary Cherone was the lead singer of Van Halen?
Guys, I don't want you guys screaming like a bunch of pansy cats.
Whoa.
But do what Harry Callis used to do during the seventh inning stretch. Take me out to the ballgame.
Which is?
He was whacking that thing.
Take me out to the ball game.
Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never come back early.
Root for the home team. I don't give a darn, cause it's 1, 2, 3 strikes.
You're out at the
old ball game. Excellent, David.
All right, David.
Excellent. What a call. What, leading us off a 4:30 call right there at 2 o'clock.
Are you okay over there?
Me?
Yeah, you just let that go for like 20 minutes.
Oh, I loved it. Who's ready for Phil's baseball now?
Yeah, that was gold. You never know. He kept saying, I got another thing, and I was just... I didn't want to miss
something.
Yes. Yeah, you never knew what was going to happen there. And none of them were about the Phillies. And he sang the song wrong. He said, if they don't win, I don't give a darn or something. And that is definitely not how the song goes. Wow, what a way to start us off.
The baseball season.
Yes.
Yes.
We welcome you, YouTube. That is the way the callers are here on the afternoon show, occasionally. So it's Tell the Truth Thursday here on Philly's opening day. You will hear the game right here on WIP. Starts at 4:05. We will take you all the way up until the game. We will have leading off at 3, then Philly's on deck at 3:30. You can hear the game, of course, in the Odyssey app as well. And on Tell the Truth Thursday, we want your prediction for record, how far the Phillies are going to go in the playoffs, who your make or break Philly is, and if you have any thing that you remember from 50 years ago. Just any sort of anything.
If you even still have your memory from 50 years ago.
Yes. We have said it. We are all in on capturing the flag now for the Philadelphia 76ers. And a gentleman, the best guy I know to give us the down low on what Cooper Flagg actually is as a player, is the great Kevin O'Connor of Yahoo, Kevin O'Connor Show, which you can get wherever you get your podcasts, and YouTube, KOC. How are we feeling, buddy?
I'm feeling excellent, guys. How are you all doing today?
Oh, you sound great, KOC. You must have a pro setup over there.
It's super clear for you guys.
Yeah,
we are revolutionizing radio.
Yeah, look at this. 2025, we finally figured out.
Like I'm
out
there with y'all.
Yes, it sounds great. Well, KOC, before we get to Cooper Flagg, is there any world in which you could have imagined the Philadelphia 76ers would be starting five guys you've never heard of on March 29th and trying to lose as many games to keep their draft pick this particular season?
I mean, the only scenario is the scenario that happened, is that Embiid goes down in flames. But even then, could you have anticipated that also Paul George would be out, that Maxey would be sidelined for long stretches, and that things would have exploded the way it has? No, I could not have imagined it resulting in the way that it has to be this bad. Because the whole reason they got Paul George is so they could stay afloat without Embiid for stretches. But no, I couldn't have seen 23 and 50 at this point with Quentin Grimes averaging 28 points in the month of March. No.
Yeah, I didn't really expect the game plan in late March to be give the ball to Quentin Grimes and let him cook. You know, that no offense to Quentin Grimes, but that doesn't mean that your season went the right way. You had actually Marcus Morris on the show, who was not particularly complimentary of Daryl Morey. Looking back on it, how would you grade Morey's, like, looking back on the decisions he made, would you be more critical looking at how it turned out, or do you think it was still, all in all, the moves that he should have made?
No, I mean, like, Paul George was a no-brainer on paper upgrade over Tobias Harris. It just has not worked out. It was the best free agent available. It was the best option for them. He nailed the pick in the first round going to get Jared McKean. He just got hurt. I just think you look at the roster, Gabusele was an A-plus signing, a guy who's been out of the league for years, and he's been pretty good this year. There are positive additions. It just didn't work out. So, I mean, that interview with Morris was funny because, like, I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
I asked him to
did we lose about,
him? I don't know, just analytics in the NBA, and he's like, I don't trust Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So, last one on the current Sixers before we get to Cooper Flagg. Would you fire Nick Nurse? Like, what do you think of the job Nick Nurse has done this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is not what I anticipated in terms of bringing some innovation to the system. He's better than Doc Rivers, but I think the Sixers can do better. You see the way Kenny Atkinson has been in Cleveland, the way Mark Daigneault is with Oklahoma City, with the way they build that system out and the amount of layers they have on their offensive side, the way they play defensively with different lineups. Nick Nurse, it feels like, doesn't have that amount of depth with his system for Philadelphia. So if I'm Morey, I'm looking at some of those situations and I'm saying to myself, where's the reason to have faith in Nick Nurse moving forward and building this team out the way he should be able to? So I'd look elsewhere. And plus, look what the Grizzlies did today. They fired their head coach with 9 games left in the regular season. That's insane.
A pretty good regular season for Memphis, too, right? I mean, it didn't seem like it was bad at
lately.
All. Yeah.
They've been horrible. They're 0-12 in their last 12 games against teams that are currently over 500. Their defense is bottom 10 since Christmas. They've fallen apart. But overall, yes, it's been solid, but they've been terrible lately.
All right, KSC. Now on to the important stuff. Cooper Flagg. We're all in Philly on the lottery, and we want to win it. We want to get Cooper Flagg. But, you know, most people are just starting to watch him now if you're not dialed in completely on college basketball. So where would you rank Cooper Flagg? You don't have to give us an exact number, but some context. As far as the best prospects in the NBA over the last 20 years or so, where do you see Cooper Flagg sitting in that hierarchy? Well, KOC, can you start again? Because we didn't hear the beginning of your answer. Could you go again?
Okay. Yep. Yeah. In terms of college prospects, I'd have Cooper ahead of Zion Williamson for sure. With Cooper's perimeter play, I'd have him ahead of AD because of the creation ability. And so you're going back to 07, Greg Oden, Kevin Durant, that year. With Cooper Flagg, I see Ike completely shaking his head at me right now. Clearly, there's some disagreement there. But no, I think Cooper is he checks every single box on the floor. We saw that with what he's been doing the entire season for Duke, and we saw that absolutely in the Sweet 16. So I think I'd go back to KD, Greg Oden back in 07 as the best college prospect that I've seen.
Well, first of all, I forgot we were on YouTube and we can see each other.
Yeah.
Let me get that out of the way first and foremost.
It's a new era.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that, KOC.
Any comment on that tonight?
So now since that has been exposed, I may as well address what I thought was Zion Williamson, I guess, because of the Zion was more of an athlete than he was a complete basketball player, right? So I guess I can understand that freakish athlete.
I can't defend. Like, Zion, no way he's better than Cooper.
Right. I don't know, man. I think Zion's ceiling may have been higher, but I'm not going to argue because of the weight and the injury factor. But Anthony Davis is the one I really perked up at. Because I thought Anthony Davis was really like a new age basketball player coming out. He's long. He was tall. Ability to handle the ball, shoot from the outside, and plays the other end of the court. That's the one that kind of made my antennas perk up. You think he's a better prospect than Anthony Davis, huh?
Yeah, I think he's a better prospect than AD because of the creation ability. I mean, look, AD at Kentucky was obviously maybe the best college defender we've ever seen since, like, the 60s. Like, we're talking with AD, with what he did in college for Kentucky. That one year they had their unbelievable national champion team. But still, like, the shooting with him was iffy. He wasn't a three-point guy at the time. He was still just a mid-range guy, but he was mostly still just an interior finisher. And that's what he ended up really becoming in the NBA, was an elite finisher, but not a creator. With Cooper, the big question with him entering the season at Duke was, well, what's he going to be like as a shooter? He shot pretty well as a senior, but prior to that and in other competitions, he was always, you know, below 30% from three, very streaky off the dribble with a, you know, an okay handle. But the way he's improved this year for them, 87% from the lines in his last 25 games, 43% from three, elite mid-range. The playmaking feel, like, you saw him looking off defenders last night, man, creating
awesome
for his teammates.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he's gotten so much better since we saw those clips of him last summer playing against Team USA. He's even better now than he was then. So I think with Cooper, if you asked me before the season, would I say Cooper Flagg was a better prospect than Anthony Davis? I would have said hell no. Like, that's crazy. But at this point, the way he's improved over the course of the season, I'd say best since Greg Oden and Kevin Durant back in 07.
Kevin O'Connor of the Kevin O'Connor Show and Yahoo joining us now to talk about Cooper Flagg, which hopefully we get that number one pick and get a chance to pick him. Who would you say are some good comps in the NBA over the last 20 years, 25 years for Cooper Flagg?
I don't think there's one great comp. There's like guys that there's shades of him.
Okay.
Gavoni from Draft Express recently mentioned Kawhi Leonard as a Western Conference comparison. There's like shades of it with like the mid-range turnaround you saw from Cooper last night, you know, some of the mid-post stuff, but Kawhi's not as much of a passer. You could say, you know, kind of like, you know, some of the stuff Blake Griffin does or did in his prime as a creator from the perimeter, but Cooper's not quite the elite athlete as Blake Griffin, but he can be used as a screener and a creator in some of those ways. You could say, you know, I have in the draft guide Andre Kirilenko as a defensive player.
That's what
with
I
all
said.
The versatility.
Yeah.
I like AK-47, like, is, you know, but AK-47 was also like a significantly higher, you know, blocks guy, steals guy than Cooper is. But Cooper's, you know, kind of got that versatility and feel that he has. But ultimately, there's no perfect one in terms of two-way ability. I don't think it's unreasonable to say, like, Scottie Pippen-esque, where maybe you ask the question, you know, well, yes, he's a Hall of Famer, NBA 75, one of the greatest players ever, six championships and all that, but Scottie wasn't the number one, it was Michael Jordan. With Cooper, that's ultimately the only question with him, is he elite enough of an athlete to be the engine of your team? He sure as hell looks like it, the way he's performing right now for Duke and the way he's developed this season. But there's a floor for him to be elite defender, switch across positions, size with playmaking, who can score and check so many boxes on your team. And that's why I think about Scottie. But really, there's no perfect comparison for Cooper Flagg. He's kind of his own thing.
You've talked about all the things he does well. If I was to ask you, what is Cooper Flagg not good enough at yet, or anything that might worry you, what would be on that list?
You know, I mean, he, like you said, he does a little bit of everything. And my draft guide over at Yahoo, which launched earlier this week, it's just really jumper consistency is one of the concerns that I have listed for him. How real is it, what he's been doing the last 25 games, basically ever since he turned 18 years old, because he entered this season for Duke at 17. Is this sustainable for him? That's a concern, even though I'm very optimistic about what he's been doing. And then with the ball handling. He's not an elite athlete. Like, you can see that the way he's moved. He doesn't have the quickest first step. He isn't necessarily breaking down people with these advanced handles, ball on a string. So does that continue improving? And if it doesn't, is he going to be one of those guys who is an engine of your team as the source of all your offense? Or is he more like just one of the guys? But those concerns are, I think, pretty minor. When you know he can do those things already at such a high level, it's really just you're nitpicking about, well, what level actually can he end up reaching? How high is that ceiling really?
Let me ask you, because we know he's the prize of the draft.
That's who we're going to get.
That's who we're
when we get the first pick. Yep.
When you look at the rest of this draft, let's just say your top 10 prospects, do you see any other, like, true difference makers? Or do you see guys that would be complementary players once they get to the league? You see any other sort of build-around franchise players in that top 10?
No build-around guys. Yeah. I think there's guys who can help, but nobody who's a centerpiece. Like, if Philly ends up 2, 3, or 4, or if they end up keeping, like, at number 5,
yeah.
Like, since it's top 6 protected, like, I mean, I had Derek Queen from Maryland in my mock for earlier this week, but like Derek Queen isn't a guy you build around. He's just one of your pieces. And that's true, I think, even at number 2 with Dylan Harper, who is the consensus pick. He's 6'6". He's got versatility. He draws a ton of fouls. He gets into the paint. I think he'd be a great compliment next to Maxi, but he's not the guy you're building around for your franchise. He's just one of your key pieces moving forward. So if Philly doesn't end up with number 1, I'm sure Daryl Morey and that Sixers front office will be exploring every single trade possible and otherwise taking the guy they feel best fits next to the existing core.
Last one, KOC, and about those two guys, Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, both played for Rutgers. So, you know, guys that could go 2-3 and that team goes 15-17. Now, I know, like, you know, there are circumstances we don't know. But at least in Philly, I look at Markelle Fultz, was on a bad college team, didn't work out in the NBA. I look at Ben Simmons. His team didn't really thrive in college. And you look what happened in the NBA. How much do you put the failure of the Rutgers team, how much do you consider that when you consider guys like Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper?
I mean, their teammates sucked as well. That's part of it. Like, if you look at the numbers, Dylan Harper, they have a +2 net rating when Dylan Harper's on the floor, -9 when he's off the floor. So they went from okay to terrible just anytime he was off the floor in the 10 minutes he's off. Now, with that said, you're right. Like, the team should be better if you're talking about two top three picks in a single draft. You'd think that those guys playing 30, 35 minutes a night, they'd be better than they were. So, you know, the people I've talked to around the league about that, there's definitely concern in terms of, like, can these guys be that face of your franchise centerpieces, particularly with Ace Bailey, with some of his bad habits, though he, as a playmaker, as a decision maker, you know, sometimes a spacey defender. Can those guys really check all those boxes? So I don't think I'm going to move off of Harper at number two, but Bailey at number three isn't a lock for me. In any way, over the next 3 months, we'll see that change. But I'm not totally sold on either of those guys, to be honest with you. I'm not. I think they'll be solid players, but I'm not sold on the star path like some people are out there with them.
Well, it doesn't matter because we're going to get the first pick here in Philly on May 12th at the lottery. That's what's going to happen, KOC. Yes. Well, KOC, you can get the Kevin O'Connor Show wherever you get your podcasts, also on YouTube. Where can people – you mentioned the draft guide. KOC, you are a true sick person. To follow the NBA as much as you do and still be able to do the draft guide, I honestly don't know where you find the time, but where can people find the draft guide?
Over at Yahoo Sports, just look for the NBA Draft Guide. It's at the top of our NBA page, or just Google it, Kevin O'Connor NBA Draft Guide, and that should pop right up top for the 2025 rankings. We got a top 60 big board, a 2-round mock draft, player comparisons, and a whole lot else that's going to be coming out over the next 3 months. It's still early, man. Long way to go.
Long way to go. True sicko stuff. All right, KOC, we appreciate you,
it, brother. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
There he is, Kevin O'Connor. Man, he talks about Cooper Flagg, and I just, like, I need him. Like, especially, yeah. Let's take Embiid out of the picture, mm-hmm. and let's take Paul George out of the picture. When you think about the fact that what they'd be rebuilding around is the three guys that I know will be on the Sixers next year are Tyrese Maxey, Jared McCain, and Justin
Quentin
Edwards. I don't know if Grimes will be on.
Really?
Well, Grimes is a restricted free agent. Somebody could offer him some, you know, Brooklyn could offer him a big deal. Justin Edwards, a wing, you know.
Yeah.
But you rebuilding with, starting a rebuild with Jared McCain, Tyrese Maxey, Cooper Flagg, and, you know, Edwards is a rotation guy. Mm-hmm. Those are four young, bouncy, you know, explosive players to have on that team. Edwards to a lesser degree, of course, but I think I need Cooper Flagg now.
Yeah, we have to find that 6'5 to 6'9 wing player that can create his own shot.
Yep.
Can shoot from the outside.
Yep.
Has the ability to get to the basket. Like, we haven't really had that guy probably since who?
Ever. Iguodala, I mean, wasn't that guy.
We had Jimmy for a short time. It was just a short time.
Yeah, I'm talking for an extended period of time.
We haven't had that guy, right?
I mean, not in the last 25 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
You give a 30. I mean, like, you know about the Dr. J?
And I'm thinking, like, probably Andrew Toney.
I was going to say Charles Barkley or Dr. J.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, we need that guy. Because when I'm looking at, and everybody can't be Steph. Right? So I need that guy that's big enough. And I love Maxey, but the 6'3", 6'2 size.
No, you need a bigger
guy. Yeah, you need a bigger guy.
Yeah. Well, and that's the entire, you know, next year is, if they're rebuilding, the Maxey McCain thing while you're rebuilding is fine. Yeah. But I...
You almost got to flip Maxey for other pieces?
Well, one of them. But if you're asking me, if you're rebuilding, what do you do? Mm-hmm. I don't take the guy that's already on the giant contract. Like, I take the guy who is the second year of his rookie deal, who is a more natural point guard, and you're probably going to get more for Maxey in a trade at some point than you're going to get for McCain, at least now. I'm not saying I would do it right away. For next year, it's fine.
Sure.
But the idea of having a championship-level team where your backcourt in 2025 is 2-6 to 6-2 guards, it's not realistic.
You've been listening to the best of the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.